Okay, let's begin. I just a few short ideas, not just horos. Things that I came across in preparing for today's shiur. First thing I came across, very nice insight. We begin this week in the new Chumash Devar. When you look at a sefer, it's always nice to look at the beginning of the sefer and the end of the sefer. Right, when you learn a mesachta, make a siyum hadron alach, you connect the end of the sefer to the beginning of the sefer. So it's very interesting, there is a very interesting connection between the beginning of the Chumash Devarim and the end of Chumash Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu begins Chumash Devarim, Eile HaDevarim, Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. Moshe spoke nothing more than words. Asher Diber Moshe, he spoke Be'er HaYarden, Ba'midbar, Ba'arova, Molsuf, Be'im Polon, Be'im Tafel, Vlom, Ba'chatzeres, Vizav. Okay, these are all the Muslim, what these words refer to. Look at Rashi, all different sins that Christ committed, but on a very similar level, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's speaking, he's giving a long drasha. What's the end of Chumash Devarim? The very end is Ulchol Hayot HaChadaka, the mighty hand, Asher Otsa Moshe, which Moshe fulfilled. Moshe did. He performed. The end of the Chumash tells us about the actions of Moshe Rabbeinu. That is success. There are many leaders and many Talmidei Chacham, there are many preachers that they preach, but they don't practice what they preach. The beauty of Chumash Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu was a preacher. He gave Musar. But Moshe Rabbeinu was true to his word. He started Asher Dibe Moshe with all the Musar, and the end of Chumash Devarim is L'chol Hayot HaChazaka Asher Osa Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael. What?
Again, called Yisrael.
Called Yisrael. Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Moshe was not just a preacher. Moshe Rabbeinu, he practiced what he preached, and that is a very powerful Musar and Musar Haskel for us. Okay, let me go to another idea. It is just a ha'ara. There are many minhagim. Paris Ram is always Shabbos Chazon. Now, if you go out into the world, go out into Flatbush, you will notice every shul has their own minhagim. In some communities, the minhag is Shabbos Chazon. I think they do this in Washington Heights. You wear big. I don't know the details. You correct me. They wear to some degree big day chol. On Shabbos, did you ever hear this? I've heard this. I've never seen it in practice, but on Shabbos Chazon, you come to shul Shabbos night in your weekday clothing. Okay, don't take your wallet and your iPhone, but you come in weekday because you're in mourning. It's not proper Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, you shall come dressed in your shtreimel and your bekesha. It's not the way you should behave when it comes on the Shabbos that we were in Avelis before Tisha B'Av. There were communities that did this. It could very well be that I think, is anyone familiar with Washington Heights, where they do Breuers? I think to some degree they do something like this, or at least they don't wear all of their Shabbos begotten. What?
Shabbos now?
No, this is definitely, I know for a fact that this is definitely brought down in Sfarim, new communities in Europe, that was the custom. Now that's not practiced among us. Among us, we do not do that. We come to shul wearing full Shabbos clothing.
Shabbos is no available.
Right, it's true. There's no available. But you play it down. In the Chalami, we focus on that. There are different opinions about what it means there's no available. There is available, but sinner. There is some available. And also, it's not a private, it's a public. Avelos, a quality show. So it's a different type of avelos, a different set of rules. It's much more complex. And there are communities that are of the opinion that on Shabbos Chazon, quality show is something for the local business. You should not wear your big Shabbos. You should wear in very simple clothing in order to appreciate the laws of the Beis HaMikdash. That's not our custom. The vast majority of quality show today, and in this generation, certainly in our communities, we wear regular. There's no kasuda shloima b'shaita. There's no difference between this Shabbos and the most celebrated Shabbos you have during the year. You wear your big Shabbos. And there's even the questions about how you polish your shoes. Pretty much, the poskim are extremely lenient, and you can do in honor of Shabbos almost anything you can possibly imagine. Okay, so that's one form of showing avelus for Tisha B'Av. Now let's discuss the nusach hatzilah. As already you'll see, there are some shuls where Kel Adon, let's talk about Kel Adon, Shabbos morning Shabbos, Kel Adon al Kol HaMasim, most shuls, if you go to a real literature yeshiva, they'll never sing it anyway. But if you go but if you go to a well, yeshiva's ready, they all sing it already today. Today we've all morphed into one global village, right? But it used to be the real literature yeshiva, but do you sing Keladon in the Nusach of Elitzia? So, yesh v'yesh, there are shuls, some shuls don't know what they're doing, whoever, it depends who davens, that, it's Shabbat Chazon. So you should sing it in the Nusach of Elitzia. Okay, I'm sure you've all seen this, right? I'm sure, I'm talking about Shabbat. I'm not talking about Kabbalah Shabbat. I'm talking about Kel Adon Shabbat Melech Shachar. That is Shabbat B'Tokfoy. That's already Shabbat when Shabbat is here for real. L'chod Odi is a little bit different because that's Kabbalah Shabbat. What? Yeah. Kabbalah Shabbat. Okay, that's a little more than you, but let's talk about Kel Adon. So there are definitely communities that do this. And then there are definitely communities that are a little bit more aware of the Inyanim. Yehoreg v'al yavach. Don't you, it's a bizoyon, it is a zilzal to the covenant of Shabbos to sing Kel Odon or Kiddusha or any type of sad nigun in the Nusach HaTzila, at least during the primary tzilos of Shabbos. Okay, now let's go to another level. L'chad Odi. Now L'chad Odi, there are, there's also yesh v'yesh. There are, I think it's pretty popular, most of the shuls here, among, are here. No, I shouldn't say that, everyone will, you know, because I haven't been around all that much. Some do and some don't. There are some shuls, even if they will not say Kel Adon in the Nuzman, in the Nigun of Elitzion, but L'chadodi they will. L'chadodi they will remind everyone. And there are shuls, I know for a fact, I know a lot of the Hasidic Hashtib Lach, no, they're very makbet. Don't you dare bring in Nigun of Elitzion into the Nigun of L'chadodi. Very much. I know one particular shul, that's zilzling the Kedusha of Shabbos. Now, even the shuls that do it, we have to understand, it's Kabbalah Shabbos, so it is the bringing of Shabbos, but it's not the same toikef, the same severity as Shabbos day. Because you haven't yet said Baruch Hu, you makabel Shabbos, it's Tais for Shabbos, you bring in Shabbos, but you're still within the, you're it's somewhere, it's like a buffer zone to some degree. Okay, you can argue, you can tell me not, but it's not the same degree as Shacharis by day, so you'll be mocked by day, but L'chadodi, you will want to sing the Nigun of Kelon. Okay, fine. Then again, there are shuls, no way. Don't even think of it. Then there is another form of make note of the Avelus of Tisha B'Av in saying the pasuk of Eicha Esol Levadi Tarchachem Ma'asachem, and what's the last one? Vrivchem. That pasuk. Do you sing it in the Nigun of Eicha? Virtually, I would say 95% of the shuls do it. Even those that will never, under any condition, say L'chadodi, the Hasidic Shtiblach that will not say L'chadodi, the Nigun of Elitzion, will recite Eicha Asolavadi in the Nigun of Eicha, and the Haftorah, okay, the Hasidic Shtiblach, they don't say the Haftorah, they just read to themselves, but those places where they do say the Haftorah out loud, they will sing or chant the Haftorah in the Nigun of Eicha. So the question is why? This appears to be pretty popular today. I'm not mistaken that Nusach HaTzilah and clothing, forget about it. Big Day Shabbos, no Avelus for Hesia. And Nusach HaTzilah, don't play around Nusach HaTzilah. But the laning you can do. The laning, you can say the laning in the Nusach of Eicha, that's not a problem.
Stop a pasuk before,
you have to also change the Galig, or stop a pasuk before, and then still say the pasuk. So what's the pshat? Well, why is that so? I think there's a very deep insight into why that is so. Because the laning, I'm not saying only from me, I saw this, is because the laning of the Torah is Torah, it's Talmud. Why do we lay on Shabbos? It's Talmud Torah. Why do we say the Haftorah? Haftorah is also Talmud Torah. It's a form of reading the Sigma of the Navi is Torah. It's Musa. It's Torah. Torah is not susceptible to Avelos. The Kudei Hashem Yishon Samchele. And the other is not allowed to learn. Okay, that's fine. When you're in a time of Avelos, you're not allowed to learn. So Tisha B'Av, we're not Avelus, we don't learn. Person Rachman, the son of the private Avelus, doesn't learn. Shabbos, there's no Avelus. So Shabbos, you can learn. You can learn. But you want to show that it's Tisha B'Av. And how are you going to show that it's Tisha B'Av? You're going to chant the Pasuk in the Nigun of Eicha? That's fine. That is not called Avelus. That is not called you're bringing sadness into the Shabbos day, because Torah is not susceptible to Avelus. Torah stands on its own. Even though you will be of the opinion, you'll be extremely machped not to be mezalzel in the Kedusha of Shabbos to show any form of visible signs of mourning. You're not going to wear, you're going to wear your big day Shabbos, you're going to wear your finest, your best. You're not going to chant the Nusach HaTzilah in any form whatsoever that alludes to Avelus. Oh, that's right. But Torah doesn't need that protection, because Torah is so powerful. Torah can take the Avelus and can transform the Avelus into Simcha. Can they mechapech the sorrow, the days of mourning, into days of Simcha. And that's it's a very powerful point, which when we focus on Churban, the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal tells us, why was the Beis HaMikdash Charat? Shlod Berchu Bar Torah Tchila. They did not make Berchus HaTorah. What's the problem of not being Berchus HaTorah? Chazal tells us, when you make Berchus HaTorah, what do you say? The Harifna. Torah should be sweet. It should be pleasant. Torah is a power, a koach, which completely is above and beyond Avelus. In fact, has the power to transform Avelus into Simcha. It's not susceptible to any form of Avelus, so there's no harm whatsoever in bringing the Nigun of Eicha into Psukim of Torah when we actually are Mekayim, a Geder of Talmud Torah on Shabbos. Tzila and garments, Levush, that's different. That is susceptible to Avelus, and that is something that we can add. Again, the Musar Haskam is to realize it is only through the Korach of Talmud Torah, learning Torah, the Mekayim the Torah, which we have the ability to lift ourselves out of the Avelus that we find ourselves in today. Okay, that is one idea. Let me go to another idea. And this idea shook me up. It's very deep, it's very true, and it has to just be finessed the right way. Moshe Rabbeinu instructs Klal Yisrael to provide leaders. Havu lochem anashim, chachonim, unevonim, viduim l'shiv teichem, v'asineim b'roshechem. Rashi says, they're coming to Moshe, and after that, Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest mukubal. Think about it today. Today there's a craze, you want to go, you want, a person needs, he has a problem. So you, after you try doing everything you're supposed to do, so what do people do? You shouldn't do this, of course. People, they get really carried away, and they go for brachas. And when the brachas don't work, so then they start doing who knows, they do segulas. So when the segulas don't work, then they go to the mukubalim, right? Don't you ever do anything like this. And you go to the mukubalim, they look at your palms, they look at your partsuf, and they read your palms. We can be 100% sure that Moshe Rabbeinu was a lot bigger than any mekubal there ever was. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNavi. He gets his own animamim. Okay, that's pretty good. There's an animamim that we believe all the words of Nevuah are MS, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, he gets his own animamim. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av HaNavi. When he looked at you, Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw through you. He knew you from top to bottom. There's so many stories. Even recently, with the Satmar Rav, okay, Satmar Rav didn't die all that long ago. People used to go to the Satmar Rav. He'd get a look. They would say they felt like he was mamish looking through the neshama. He saw it all. People remember that there used to be such gedolim that had such. Moshe Rabbeinu was a billion times above that. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu, he needs to appoint 70 judges, or a judge, the system of judges. So everyone passed for Moshe Rabbeinu. He'll have a conversation, he'll interview, and he'll talk to you for a few minutes, a few moments. He'll right away figure out your koichos, your koichos hanefesh, and he'll right away put you and give you a job. I mean, it's not so far-fetched. There are people today, even goyim today, that have a certain talent, can right away figure out where you're holding. And the headhunters, there are some very excellent headhunters. They know, they interview you, they right away see your talents, where you're holding, and they can right away match you up for the right job. So you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you need a judge. So Moshe Rabbeinu could very easily, everyone have a conversation, I'll right away appoint a judge. But what does he say to them? No, I want you, Havu Lechem, you shall provide the judges. What Rashi says, Shem Nikarim Lechem, Shembo Lefanai, because if the judge, if a person comes before him, Utuf Betaliso, wrapped, draped in his talis, Eini Yodea Mihu, I don't know who you are, Umeiza Shevet, who, I don't know what Shevet you came from, Vim Hogan, who, I'm not sure you're really a good judge. Avul Atem, you, the people, know your neighbors. Makidim Bo, Shatem, because you Gidaltem also. You raise the person. It's your child. It's your neighbor. He is a member of your shul, a member of your community. You know him well. You know his nature. You know his talents. You know his klichas hanefesh. You know what he can do. L'kach nema, that's why it says vidum l'shiftechem. So over here, the Farshim setting of Druk, sometimes if I'm saying that's his name, you're going to be an incredible insight. That a regular person, to some degree, has more knowledge than even the greatest Navi. A Navi looks at a person, he looks right through you, he sees your neshama, he sees all of your averus, he reads your palm, he looks at your forehead, he knows quite a bit about you, but he doesn't really know you. It's incredible insight. You think you're going to go, you know who knows you? Your wife knows you. She knows you. Your children know you. Your parents know you. Your friends. They really can testify about a person, who he is, what he is, what he stands for, his nature, his talents, his essence. Even the greatest Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu, who can see through you, doesn't really know who you are. And it's incredible insight to learn from life. People go and they think they all their problems, they're going to solve all their problems by going to great people who never saw them, don't know them. Of course, they're very smart, they're very successful, and they're very well known. But the people in your neighborhood, to a much greater degree, really know you, can help you, can relate to you on a much greater level than people who don't know from you. And you learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha. Havu Lachem, Moshe Rabbeinu, you, not me, you're going to provide the judges, because I really don't know. I have ideas. I can see what it says in your palm and your fingers. I don't really know if you're qualified for the job. Okay, I find that to be a very powerful insight. Okay, now, let's go to another idea. At the end of the parasha, I saw this from Rav Weinberger, Bernard Weinberger.
They have more education, more insight than Moshe Rabbeinu. How they can choose them?
That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. Moshe Rabbeinu said that you the people, do know who these people are. You raise them, attend, gidal them also. So let's go to another idea. There's a short idea. At the end of the parasha, it's a short idea. But Yoshua Tzibesi, Moshe Rabbeinu says that I've commanded Yoshua, but Esa Hilemar, Inecho Haroif. Your eyes have seen, Esa Shosa Hashem Elokechem Lushne Hamalochem O'ila. But Hashem has done to Sichon and Og, the Eve HaYarden, and now that you've seen what he has done to these two kings, you are ready to conquer, to take the Yisrael over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. Kenyas Hashem l'chol hamam l'chol hashar ta'iv v'rashama, Hashem will do the same to all the nations on the other side of the Yarden, lo tiru'um, ki Hashem l'okechem hu hanilcham l'chem. Now first of all, this is the Derech Agav. Is this the only place in Chomishe Chomshe Torah where the word Yehoshua is spelled mole with two vavs? Okay, we come to the Maftir tomorrow. You look in the Chumash very carefully. V'yef Yehoshua Tzivesi, there are two vavs in Yehoshua. Nowhere in Chamish, in Chumash Torah, does Yeshua have two vavs. And the first to explain different reasons, simply because Yeshua is going to conquer 31 kings. 31 kings on the other side of the Yarden. Yehoshua appears in Chamish, in Chumash Torah, 30 times. Take a computer and check. 30 times. And Moshe wants to give him the koyach to knock out the 31st king. So the way he'll have the koyach to knock out the 31st king is by adding a letter to his name. It should be spelled mole. And if it's mole, that doubles that doubles the koyach of Yeshua into two. So now that's Kilu, it's 31 Kneged, the 31 kings which he will need to conquer on the other side of the Yad when he comes into Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Weinberger says a very powerful idea. Why does the pasuk have to say Bo'es Hahi? There's Yeshua Tzivesi, I command Yeshua at that time. What do you mean by that? There's Yeshua Tzivesi, Leimar. I commanded Yeshua, telling him, your eyes have seen what Hashem has done to Sichon and Og, and you'll be successful. What's Bo'es Hahi? So he says, the greatest emunah a person has in their life, than anything else, is when he sees, he's able to see in his life, Hashem has answered his tefillos. There's no greater experience of faith than most of the time we have to realize that we're not zochar. We ask, we see, we don't see. Hashem doesn't necessarily, it's not in our best interest. Hashem should give us what we want. But there are times, I mean, that's the way it is. There are times when it's proper to ask, and if we ask the right way, with the right kavanah and the right sincerity, Hashem gives us something that we otherwise would not have received. Hashem answers your tefillos. And when a person merits to see the Yad Hashem, it's not so easy to see that Hashem actually answered you. It's in your merit of your prayer. It's not in the merit of some chance event that happened anyway. But when a person has the Siyata Deshmaya to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered his tefillos, there is no experience in life that comes and matches that awareness. That is the top of the top, the cream of the crop. That is why Moshe Rabbeinu says these words, Bo'es Hahi, because Sichon and Og were invincible. And the only reason why Moshe was able to conquer Sichon and Og is because of his prayer. He was misfollowed. And he goes through the details of the loops. You have to go back to, I don't have all the psukim in front of me to show this. Sichon and Og, Moshe Rabbeinu was misfollowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him from Sichon and Og. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. And Sichon and Og miraculously were defeated. And when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, he was so uplifted. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, Bo'atzave es Yehoshua bo'es hahi, at that moment of time. This is something that you can build on. Learn, seize that moment, and use it to gain the emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with you. You'll be able to conquer the 31 kings when you cross over the Yarden. You need in life, in order to go forward, to conquer difficult battles, you need to build on inspiration from the past. And the greatest form of inspiration you can draw from the past is to look at events in your life that you had difficulty and you were misfollowed, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu came forward and answered your prayers. That is the Be'ez Hahi which you need to use to go forward, to go into the future. That's, I think, a very powerful idea from Rabbi Weinberg. Okay, and that's also why his name here is Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu was now filled with this emunah. He was able to bestow upon Yehoshua double dosage of Yehoshua, who will save you by adding a letter to his name from without only one vav to two vavs. Okay, let's go to another idea, another short idea. We have a pasuk in Shmuel Bey. Shmuel Bey says, he actually made a photocopy of this. Okay, I can't remember this. Okay, this is a Gemara Mesechta Avodah Zarah. Gemara Mesechta Avodah Zarah is quoting a pasuk in Shmuel Bey. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yitchetz, Vayomer, Lelamei Bnei Yehuda Keshas, teach the Jewish people warfare. Keshas. Okay, Keshas, you can interpret what he wore, whatever, that's not for now. Teach them how to shoot a bow and arrow. You have to be well versed in archery. You have to know how to shoot a gun. And Hinei Kesuva Al Sefer Hayosha. It's written, okay, I'm not going to the interpretation of the Pasuk now, this idea is presented in Sefer Hayosha. Big question is, what is where? What is Sefer HaYosha? Where in Sefer HaYosha, not going to the topic of the puzzle, but what is Sefer HaYosha? So the Gemara in the Masechta Avodah Zarah tells us there are three candidates for Sefer HaYosha. The first candidate is Chumash Bereishis. In Chumash Bereishis, it says, we have the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Yeshua. When we read the Gemara, Mahu Sefer Yosha. So the Gemara, the Odas, Rabbi Yochanan, Hilik Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael, he says that Sefer Bereishis. Shekein Misuparim Bo told us Sayem Shem Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Shenikru Yesharim. They were the Yesharim. Okay, we have sources that tell us they call this Bifa, it's called Sefer Yasha. And there it's Chumash Bresh, we learn about the Brachas, we learn about fighting of Yehuda, or the Agibar, the Birchas Yaakov. Birchas Yaakov, Yaakov tells me you have to be a warrior, and all the different allusions to warfare. Rabbi Yishmuel Bar Nachmeni Yochoyle, he disagrees. The Sefer Sefer Yasha was Sefer Shoiftim. Sefer Shoiftim is called Sefer Yasha. Why? Sheboi Nemar, Bayam Mohen Ish Hayashor Be'en of Yasa. Okay, in the Sefer Shoiftim, free for all, there's no king. When there's no king, you do whatever you want. There's a Shoifet. No, a Shoifet has very limited power. He's the Rav of the other shul. He's not my rabbi. He's the Rav of the shul that I don't daven in. A Melech is the rabbi of the shul that you do daven in, so you have no choice. But the Shoifet is the rabbi of the shul that you don't daven in. So, Ish Hayasha Be'enav Yas. And there it's brought down all the various Muhammad Sefer Shoiftim is full of war, so that's not a problem. And now we come to Rabbi Elazar, Sefer Hayashu, Sefer Devarim. Okay, the Chumash that we begin this week, we begin Chumash Devarim. Chumash Devarim is called Sefer Hayashar because there's a Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, V'yasisa Hayashar v'hatar. A person should do what's Yashar and Toiv in the eyes of Hashem. Okay, so here I have a Sefer of Schlesinger. The name of the Sefer is, I forgot, I think it's called Eile HaDevarim. This is called the Zos HaMitzvah. He has a series of Svarim. Rav Schlesinger, one of his Svarim, he has this, he presents this Gemara. He asks the question, what's going on here? When the Chazal tell us that Chumash Bereish is called Sefer HaYasha, we understand. Because the Avos cast their shadow on the entire Sefer. Okay, they're there. From beginning to, even though they only lived during a certain period, their influence spreads, even from the beginning, even from other Marishom, it's already, we already see where we're going to the Avos, and then after they live and they die, their influence casts all the way down to the end of Chumash Bereishis. The whole Sefer Bereishis is the Sefer of the Avos from beginning to end, no problem. Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, the whole Sefer, it's not just a pasuk. Okay, we call the pasuk Ish Hayashar Be'enav Yaaseh. It's not just a pasuk. It's a theme. It's a theme that goes from the beginning of the Sefer to the end of the Sefer. People did whatever they wanted, and that's why there was constant backsliding of Avodah Zarah. There was a war. They did tshuva. There was no unity. There was no leadership. There was no ultimate leadership which put everyone together permanently for long periods of time. There were just different periods of time where you had a leader that got you going for the time, and then after you had your problem was over, you went back to your merry old way. The Ish Hayashar Be'enav Yaaseh was a theme that goes from beginning to end. But the problem is when the Gemara presents a third opinion of the Allah that says Chumash Tavarim is called Sefer Hayashar. What's the Sefer Hayashar? The whole Chumash is history. It's Musar. It's history. There are a couple of mitzvot that don't appear anywhere else in the Torah. Divorce, Yibum, another bunch of mitzvot. There are brachos. There's Musar. There's Nevuah. Why is Chumash Devarim called Sefer Hayashar just because it says in the Pasuk 1, Pasuk, V'asisa Hayashar V'hatoiv. So he brings out a mashal that's a fascinating insight which totally changes the way we look at Chumash Devarim, which is a Musar for us, how we look at Chumash Devarim. Chumash Devarim, if the first two examples that Chazal gave of Sefer Hayashar define the theme that tells us the entire theme of Chumash Devarim from beginning to end is the Asisa Hayashar VeHatoy. Now, what does it mean the Asisa Hayashar? So the Gemara says, Gemara, Bava Mitzia, what does it mean the title of Asisa Hayashar VeHatoy? Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. There is law, court, you're innocent, but there is a concept that you have to go a little bit above and beyond what is required of you. Chazal are telling us that the entire Chumash Devarim from beginning to end, every single thing, every single pasuk, every single rash that you look at in this Sefer is with the approach, it's not the letter of the law. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's demanding from Klal Yisrael, Yashus, a little bit more. And that explains a lot of the mitzvahs that don't appear in the Torah, that don't appear anywhere, like divorce, right? There's no, Gershon doesn't appear. Where does divorce appear for the first time? It appears in Chumash Devarim. Yibam doesn't appear, there's allusion, you know, the Avos, but where's the mitzvah of Yibam? The mitzvah of Yibam only appears in Chumash Devarim. Why? Because technically a man is not happy with a woman. Okay, so let her be an aguna. He has tainus. She has tainus. There are times, these are all mitzvos which there are things, if it's not proper, you should do the right thing. The right thing is, the man, if it's not working out, to release her. Yibam. The person has a brother, the brother doesn't have any children. You don't have to. You can find an excuse not to do Yibam. You can do. But there's an element of yashrus. The asitza hayosha vehatov, the yikore, give that person who died, give him a name. Marry the almona. Have a child. That child, let there be a bias built in memory of that person. The musr of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, you can always argue, you could always look at everything. Everything always has another side. There's always another side to the story. But at the end of the day, what's the right thing to do? That is the essence of Chumash Devarim. And this is very well in line with Tishvah, because Tishvah Chazal tells among all of the Averos that Klal Yisrael did, one of the sins was, Hanidu Divrehem Al Din Torah. One of the sins the Gemara lists in Masechta Shabbos, Saflamid, there's a long list of Averos besides, of Odozer, Gilerai, Shri Chassam, and Sin Sinam, there's a long list, and one of the primary sins is, Hanidu Divrehem Al Din Torah. Person had a problem, there was a disagreement, let's go to court. Whoever is right is right. And in court there are always technicalities. You always can get off on a legal loophole. If I'm off, I'm off. Okay, technically no one can hold you accountable. But is it Yashar? Is it the right thing to do? Is it the Sisa Yashar Vehatov? No, it's not. It's the wrong thing to do. And because people did not go the extra step, that is why Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and exiled Klal Yisrael. This is the theme of the entire Chumash Devarim from beginning to end, according to the approach of the Marsha, based upon this very bizarre Gemara. The first two approaches of Sefer Yashar are clear themes, and the third is just a pasuk out of nowhere. It's not a pasuk. It opens up our eyes to look at Chumash Devarim in an entirely different light. Okay, let me just conclude with one last thing. We'll finish the Haftarah, Shabbos Chazon. Shabbos Chazon, in this week's Parsha, we also always have to find the connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha. We have spoken about this at length. So sometimes the Haftarah, you know, has nothing to do with the Parsha. It's an Ein HaMa'orah. It's an Erev Tisha B'Av. So we focus Chazon, Musar. But one of the themes of this week's parsha, which I just mentioned, is the end of the parsha is the Kech HaTzilah. The Kech HaTzilah, V'yes Yeshua Tzideisi Bo'eis Hahi Lema, which is interpreted to mean, when I saw the Kech HaTzilah, I witnessed how powerful the Kech HaTzilah is. I was so inspired, I was able to instruct Yeshua to give him full confidence that he can conquer, do the impossible, and conquer Eretz Yisrael. Take possession of Eretz Yisrael with the Koyach HaTzilah. What is the Haftarah? The Haftarah is Golos. And one of the major themes of the Haftarah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that our Tzilos are not worth anything. The Haftarah says, Uvi for Rishchem, Kapechem, when you lift up your hands, Alim in Anikem, I will conceal my eyes from you. Gam kisabu sefila eineni shemea. I'm not going to listen. Wa yideichem dam maleu. The pasuk says, "Mi bikes zolchem yetzim." The famous pasuk who asked this from you. Lomali roiv zivchechem imashem shavati elos elim chelim rim v'dam parim uchavatim v'atudim lechavatzi kifrel lechaleros ponai. Mi bikes zolchem yetzim rimos chatzera. Loisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rejecting our tefillah. And because he rejects our tefillah, Eicho hoiso mezoino kiri nemono mileasi mishpat tzedek yolim bo, and the pasuk goes on to say there's going to be a churban beis hamikdash. there's a direct relationship between the Haftorah and the Parsha. It's not just a Haftorah about Korban. It is telling us, look at the Parsha. The Parsha teaches you the Koyach HaTzvila. So Eis Hahi, so by Tzvila can do, and through that, Yoshua, you will be succeeding conquering 31 kings. But if you don't want to you don't want to be misfollow the right way, then the base Hamigdash, which is a base Tefillah L'chol Ha'amim, will be Choraf. And what else goes without the base Tefillah? Then the opposite of conquering the 31 kings will also be true, and there will be a Chorban from Eretz Yisrael, and you will go into Golis from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so this is something to keep in mind. Chazayin wants just one last positive Leon of Dover Toif. That the first three parashios, there's Shiva de Nechemta, seven Haftaras of Nechama, which come after Tisha B'Av. So the 3 weeks, the Bein HaMetzarim, we focus on Gimel de Paranusa, three Haftaras of punishment. Now, there are two Nevi'im. There is the Yirmiya and Yeshaya. Yirmiya is all gloom and doom. Yeshaya, Chazal tell us, Kula Nechemta. It's hard to see the Nechama when half of you say, we discussed this, half of Yeshaya is gloom and doom. But Chazal tell us, in the gloom and doom, there is also really Nechama. So the question is, if there are 3 weeks of Gimel de Paranusa, and the first 2 weeks we learn from Yirmiyah, why then are we learning from Yeshaya? Are we learning from Yeshaya the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av? Yeshaya really belongs after Tisha B'Av, the Nechemta. It should be a Shabbos of Yirmiyah, the third Shabbos of Yirmiyah. The Teretz says, we don't want a Chazakah. We don't want to have three Haftaras of gloom and doom. So what do? We take some gloom and doom to fulfill the Puranusa from Yeshaya. Because we know that deep down inside, Yeshaya, in the harsh words of Yeshaya, is really Kula de Nechemta. I was going to be very quick. There's a beautiful, powerful mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our goal is to mahapich. The Tishrei is about the Teichacha. Well, we're trying to mahapich the Klolol of Racha. That's what we're doing with Yeshaya. We're taking gloom and doom, but we're reading it from Yeshaya. Because Yeshaya is the one that's going to take the gloom and doom and be mahapich Klolol of Racha. One of the most horrific psukim in the Teichacha is V'achaltem b'sar b'neichem. You'll eat the flesh of your own children. The Chazal tell us it's b'malam ederech atav. Even in the worst situations, a parent would not eat the flesh of his own children. Okay, we rachman, which we don't know with the Holocaust, the different stories, yes and no, but it's the most horrific curse. V'achaltem b'sar b'neichem. But there's such a concept that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mahapech Klol Lebrocha. That's what the Haftorah we're doing. We're reading from Yeshaya, Nechama. We're taking the gloom and doom, not from Yirmiyah, from Yeshaya, because Yeshaya is the Mahapech. How in the world can you be Mahapech, a pasuk that says, you're going to eat your children's basar into a bracha? So let me tell you a story. Unbelievable idea to understand this pasuk. There was a person, very big Tamachacha, Nachman was son of Arabic, before the war. The true story, I don't know the names of the people, but it's a true story. He came to, he had no choice, it was before the war, and things were just, the poverty and the tsars were unbearable. And he escaped, he was able to get out of Europe before World War II, maybe even before World War I, and he came to America, he had a lot of children, and he came to America, and they settled somewhere in America, and the children, they were small. They grew, but unfortunately they assimilated. And he had it's not his fault, there was no yeshivas at that point in time when he came to America, there was absolutely zero, and all of his children intermarried, and he had nothing. He himself was a very big Talmid Chacham, he comes to his children, and Achmona Litzlan, that's what he had. So he commented to one of his friends, that when I go to my children, it's so bad. There's no Yiddishkeit. The food is not kosher. Not, I can't even drink their water. That's how bad it is. In other words, they're not observant. They're not religious, not observant. The food is treif. That's a given. they're eating non-kosher food, the meat is not kosher, the fish is not kosher, everything is not kosher. The tireless is so great, he uses it as an expression, even the water. Water doesn't need a heksher. Maybe today you do, I don't know, with the bucks. But in those days it didn't need a heksher. Everything is, even the water is trace. So the other person says, now I understand what it means, the bracha. The bracha, v'achaltem b'sar b'nechem. You should be zoche to raise a generation of children who are yireyim u'shleimim, and when you come to their house, not only can you eat the water, you can eat the vegetables. You can eat their basar. Basar is something which is the most expensive hechsher. It's basar. Basar is complicated to have a hechsher on basar. V'achaltem, it's a tremendous bracha to be zoche to have children that are yireyim u'shleimim, that you don't have to worry. V'achaltem b'sar b'nechem. So it just goes to show how you can be mahapis, even the biggest clothes, to interpret it to be a bracha. And that's what we're attempting to do with Shabbos Chazon, to read the gloom and doom from Yeshaya, who is kula d'nechemta. Have a wonderful Shabbos.